and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
Open up your Bibles, if you brought them today, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5 is what we're going to be looking at today. And while you're turning, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your holy written Word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, you said in your Word that faith would come from hearing the Word of God. And Father, that's one of the ways we know if we're hearing the Word of God, is by determining, is faith coming? And so, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that today a spirit of faith just rests on us. That depression cannot stay in any person at any place. A spirit of heaviness cannot stay on any person at any place. Father, we thank you that faith rises up in our heart, and the spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that your word quickens our faith to morning and lets us launch out into new arenas of it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're in a series entitled It Is Written, and we looked at 2 weeks ago Luke 4, where we saw Jesus used scripture when he was under attack. And we asked this question: when you are under attack, what do you use? And even for us as Christians, a lot of times it's not scripture. Jesus not only used scripture, he used specific scripture. Listen to me. He used specific scripture for the specific attack. So when the devil was tempting him on food, he used a scripture about food. For the specific attack he was under, he turned to, in scripture, a specific scripture for that attack. And what we said is that the Word of God is like the sword of the Spirit. When Paul was listing out all the armor pieces of God, he said there is one offensive weapon. It is the sword. And he said it's the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Who's your pastor? Come on. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So when we are under attack, the way we fight back is what? The word is nigh us. So near, in fact, it is in our heart and it is in my mouth. It's not enough to have the word of God just in the Bible. I want the word of God in my heart and I want the word of God in my mouth. So if your children are wrestling with something, what do you need? You need to open up the word of God and find specific scripture for what they're wrestling with. If you are wrestling with something in your health, you need to open up the Word of God and find specific scripture about your health. If you're wrestling with something in your finances, you need to open up the Word of God and fight with the specific scripture about your finances. Whatever area of life you are under attack in, there is a scripture to cover that. And what we want is you far more mindful of what the Bible says about your situation than what your fear says about your situation. We walk by faith and not by sight. And what happens is so many times in your life and mine, our hearts are filled with what the situation looks like instead of what God says about the situation. And so I want you to flip that. I want you to stop looking at all these things. I want you to turn your attention off of the problem, and I want you to turn your attention to the promise. I want you to get your attention off of what you see in the natural, and I want you to go back to scripture and says, what does God say about this problem? And I want you to see life through the lens of that scripture. So we saw that. If Jesus needed scripture in his life, how much more do you need it in yours? So we saw in Luke 4, not only did he do that, but even when he wanted to step into something new, he opened up to the book of Isaiah, found himself in Scripture, and said, "This is me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And he stepped into a new season for his life. He walked through the open door. He stepped into a new season in his life with specific Scripture for that season. And I feel like so many of you need to walk into something new. I feel like so many of you, God has some new things for your life. But you need specific Scripture to quote over your life. Specific Scripture to set before your eyes. So we saw that Jesus valued Scripture. And we said, if he valued it, we need to value it. We need to read Scripture. We need to meditate Scripture. We need to pray Scripture. We need to quote Scripture. I told you last week in my house growing up, Scripture was artwork. Like, that was the artwork in our house. We need to go back to that. You need to go back to writing Scripture and making your confession sheets and making your prayer list. Scripture is where God's power is at. When anybody had a word from God, the next thing they had was a miracle. In Scripture, when they got God's word, the next thing was a miracle. And so that's what we're getting at today. It's right next to Luke 4. We're in Luke 5. And what I'm saying today is you need a word. That's what you need right now in your life is you need a word. Luke 5 and verse number 1. Now, it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, watch this, and listening to the word of God. That's what you're doing today. Coming to church. Listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, we know him as Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said unto Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But I will do as you say." I like the King James. The King James says, "But nevertheless." I know I'm tired. I know I'm frustrated. I know I'm over it, but nevertheless, watch what he says here in verse number 7, or verse number 4, or 5. "Master, we have worked hard all night, caught nothing, but nevertheless, I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, done what? Done what he had said. "They enclosed a great quantity of fish, so much so that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" I love this. "For amazement had seized him and all of his companions, because the catch of fish was so great which he had taken in." Amazement at God's goodness had seized him. He was unable to move from that moment. Just so amazed at God's goodness. And I just want to say this, like, as a Christian, there ought to be moments in your life where you're seized at amazement at the wonderful goodness of God. Like, it's like, I can't move on. It's like, oh, why can't you move on? God's been too good. Like, what you see right there, that's not a result of my hard work. That's not a result of me just being more determined. What you see right there is the wonderful goodness of God in my life. And if you can't do that, something is wrong with your Christianity. Because our Christian walk should be marked by the wonderful goodness of God. That we don't just believe in Christ because someone told us about him. That our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men. Our faith stands in the power of God. We have seen him. We have seen him. And you know who sees him? Those who make a decision to launch out. Those who make a decision to begin expecting to receive. And I feel so big in my heart right now that so many of you, that's you in this moment. like you are in a season. And I believe at all times we should be living by faith. And what I mean by living by faith is expecting to see the goodness of God. Like, I believe at all times the just should be living by faith. I believe that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But here's what I also know, that when it's harvest time, when you work, you bring something in. In seed time, you're working to put something in. In harvest time, you're working to get something in. And I feel like we're moving into a season where you're about to get something in, where you're going to see what you've been believing for come to you, but not if you don't get in faith for it right now. And I know you're tired, and you may have fished all night and caught nothing, and you're frustrated, but I'm telling you, if you will get in faith right now, I really do believe you are going to see the wonderful goodness of God to such an extent, it just leaves you amazed at how good God is. Expecting to receive. I want to ask you that. Are you expecting to receive? Like right now in your life, what are you expecting to receive from the Lord? See, the gods you see is the gods you get. The gods you see is the gods you get. The children of Israel, God gave them exceeding great and precious promises. For some of them, it didn't profit them anything. God gave the children of Israel, literally, exceeding great and precious promises. Here's what I am going to do for you. God gave them exceeding great and precious promises. For many of them, it didn't matter a lick because they didn't mix faith with it. But for Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they had a different spirit. And you know what the difference was? For the children of Israel, they had heard God make the promise, but their focus and their attention was on the problem. What filled their heart was the walled cities and the giants. And you know why it filled their heart? Because it filled their eyes and their ears first. Through their eye gate and through their ear gate, they listened to the negative report coming from these spies. And it filled their heart with fear based off of what they saw. And I don't know what's filling your heart with fear right now, but whatever it is, you need to stop listening to it and you need to stop looking at it because it'll cost you your promised land. And so out of that, it so filled their heart. It so filled their just inside that's what happened on their outside. They missed out on all of those exceeding great and precious promises, but not Joshua and Caleb. The Bible said they had a different spirit. And Joshua and Caleb, they saw the problem just like the rest of the spies did. But Joshua and Caleb, instead of meditating on the problem, they meditated on the promise. I know what I see, but I also know what God said about what I see. And I know what we saw is bigger than us, but I know what I saw, it ain't bigger than God. I know what I saw, I know what I'm looking at. It could absolutely wipe me out, but here's what I do know. God is big enough to wipe it out. So instead of giving it my attention, I'm going to give God my attention. And God came down and literally spoke to all the children of Israel. And he said, you will not walk in what I promised you. But Joshua and Caleb, they will possess the land because of the different spirit that is in them. And I know what you're seeing with your kids. But here's my question. Are you looking at more what you see in your kids or what God said about your kids? Are you looking for more about what you see in your health or what God said about your health? What you see in your life or what God said about your life? What you see in your finances or what God said about your finances? What has your attention? What has your attention? What has filled your heart? Because whatever is filling your heart is what is filling your life. This is a time and a season. Listen to me, church. This is a time and a season to stop being Martha and to start being Mary. You are so busy about all these things, nervous, anxious, bothered about all of these other things. And God's saying, would you just slow down and sit at my feet? I got a word for this season. I got a word for exactly what you're dealing with right now. And if you will sit at my feet and hear this word, in the word there is a miracle. In the word there is your answer. What you need is a word. What you need for whatever you're going through, it is a word. And it's exactly what Peter needed in this moment. Peter had fished all night, and caught nothing. Meaning, he gave it his best. He didn't fish just an hour or two, and then like, oh, we'll just go in. He's trying to make progress. And I don't know, maybe you're trying to make progress or see progress in something you're believing God for yourself or for your children. And out of this, he's fighting to make progress. He's not doing this for fun. He's not fishing for fun. This is not recreation. This is his business. He's fished all night and has been completely unsuccessful. He caught nothing. Like, it's one thing when you see a little bit of reward. Like, you try really hard to be disciplined in something, and then you step on the scale and you lost, you know, even a pound is nice. But when you're trying really hard and you see nothing, when you're really working to see improvement in the relationship, and really working to see improvement in your grades, really working to see improvement in a friendship, really working to see improvement in your health, and the more you try to work, the further off you get from the result, it makes you want to do what? Quit. And that's exactly what they've done. They're washing their nets. Why are they washing their nets? They're done. I heard someone say it here in Lakeland. They are done. Have you ever been done? I'm just done. I'm done fooling with these kids. I'm done listening to this. I am done. Have you ever been done? Just done? Fed up at the job? I am done with this job. Done. They are done. They are washing their nets. They're not going to try again. Listen to me. They are settling for lack of results. Listen to me. They are accepting this is just the way it's going to be. Maybe in another season, we'll catch fish. Maybe in another moment, we'll catch fish. But for right now, we are done. And I feel like for some of you, what you're putting off for another season, God wants to do in this one. That in another season, you'd go out and fish and catch something and you'd see the best you could do. But in this season, if you would get in faith, because you got the end of yourself and finally saw the beginning of God, that if you would get in faith, you would see what God could do in this season that would absolutely blow your mind, because you were done. It looked like it was over. But how many of you know, when you think you're done with no progress, God can step in as a finisher, because he's not just the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's not just the beginning. He is the end. He's a finisher, and he will finish the good work he began in you. But you need to let Jesus in your boat. This story's been so big in my heart. Fished all night, caught nothing, washing the nets. Why? They're done. Maybe in another season. And God's saying, what you think can happen in another season, I'm going to make happen in this season. And in this season, it's going to be better than anything you could have hoped or dreamed, because that's the kind of God I am. I do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within you. And so Jesus is about to change the story. And I feel like in what you're wrestling with right now, Jesus is about to change the story. And it's going to be for his glory. That your story is going to shift for God's glory. And out of that, it will become a story and a testimony that people look at, and it encourages their faith in the same way this story encourages ours. That you were over. It was done. You'd made up your mind. It's just not going to happen. And enter Jesus. Jesus asked to come into his boat. And from that place in Peter's boat, Jesus begins to speak. And Jesus begins to talk. And here's the thing that I know for each one of you, Jesus is at the door of your heart knocking, and he's wanting to come in and sup with you. But I have found we live in a culture that is so busy right now that no one is taking the time to open up the door and let him talk, not realizing that his words are not just words to comfort you. His words is where every single miracle he ever will give you are at. And out of that, when you listen and hear those words and then act on them, that's when you see his power. If Peter would have said, no, we're done, go find another boat, he wouldn't have seen this miracle. Because let me help you with something. Jesus didn't need the boat. Come on. Come on. Jesus didn't need the boat. Jesus can walk on water. When he reaches the water, he can walk on it if he wants to. Jesus didn't need the boat, but Peter did need a miracle. And so Jesus asked for the boat, not because he needed it, but because Peter did. But he will never walk in your life without your permission. And so he will ask to come in your heart, but he will not kick down the door. You got to say, you are welcome here. I want to sit down and I want to hear your words. I want to hear what you have to say about this in my life. In fact, I really need it because I'm really tired. I fished all night and caught nothing. I really need some encouragement right now. And you know what? When you get to that place where you are tired of doing things in your own strength and you welcome the entrance of Jesus, he's coming in hot. He is coming in with the words you need for that season. So he sets down in Peter's boat. And I love this imagery of just Jesus just so relaxed in his boat. He sits down in Peter's boat. And the very thing that Peter gave him is the very thing God's going to bless him in. And I want you to think about that. He doesn't need the boat. He can walk on water. He doesn't need the boat, but the boat needed him. And so he asked for the boat, not because he needs it, but because God wanted to bless it. And it's the same reason why God asks for anything from you. He asks for your time because he wants to bless your life. He asks for your money because he wants to bless your finances. He doesn't need it. You need it. And when you give him what he asks for, that's when you're able to see all that he can do. And so out of that, when Peter lets Jesus into his boat, something amazing happens. Jesus begins teaching general words. And I want you to notice this. Let's read it again for the sake of context. Luke 5, verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around about him, listening to the word of God. So everyone is getting a general word. Everyone is hearing the same thing. Listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them, washing their nets. He got into the boats, which was Simon's. He asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. So once again, we see everybody hearing, and Jesus is speaking. And so here, this is what's called in Scripture a general word. It's like right now, God is speaking. We're reading God's word. God is speaking through the word and by the Spirit to everybody. Everybody's getting a general word, but out of the general word then comes a specific one. And it's a specific one for Peter's season. Peter is in a season of drought. He's in a season of frustration. He's in a season where he has worked hard and caught nothing. And he knows, God knows, what he needs is a specific word. And so out of this, the general word then turns into a specific one. Watch this in verse number 4. When he had finished speaking, he's not done talking. He says specifically to Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Now, here's the thing you know need to know about Jesus. What Peter really wanted in that moment was a miracle. He's already fished all night. And so how we think God works is he's just going to drop it on us. Like the fish will just come on shore. He's got the power to do anything. The fish are just going to come up on shore. Because what we really want from God is a touch. We just want a touch, like God perform a miracle. But you know what I found? It seems like very few people are receiving the touch. Because I think Scripture shows us that Jesus actually prioritized the teaching over a touch. And that when someone followed the teaching, that's when they got the touch. That when they filled up the water pots with water, that's when they turned into wine. That when they thrust out a little bit from the shore and let down their nets into the deep, that's when they caught the great multitude of fish. What we want is a miracle, but what God gives us is a word. Because in the word, that's where your miracle is. All throughout Scripture, it emphasizes the teaching of Jesus. We have, some instances where we see the touch of Jesus, but the Bible emphasizes his teaching over his touch. In fact, in the book of John, it says this in John chapter 21 and verse 25, there are also many other things which Jesus did. He said so much so that the books in all the world could not fill with the miracles that Jesus did. Well, why is that important? Because he's saying there, if we recorded every single touch Jesus did, it would overwhelm you. But the Bible doesn't record all those touches. It records his teaching. Because his teaching is the thing that leads to the touch. And they figured this out in Scripture. My question is are we going to figure it out? Watch what happens here in the book of Luke. Next Scripture. Luke chapter 6 and verse 18. So they came to hear him and to be healed. See, we just want to be healed. We want a microwave version. Just sit down, God, give me a miracle. I'm tired and I'm frustrated. God, just make it fall on me. But God didn't just heal them. They came to hear and be healed. In the hearing, go launch your nets out into the deep. Let down your nets for a drought. In the hearing was the miracle. And so how did he get this specific word? From listening to the general one. And this is why so many of us are not hearing specific words. We don't have any time with the general word. You got to open up your Bible and you got to read this thing. You got to come to church. You got to listen and actually take some notes. Like, God, let your word be a lamp unto my feet. I need a word. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Like, I need a word for this season. And so how do I get that? I spend time around the general word. And through the general word, I will get a specific word for this season of my life. What you need, what I need is a word. So Peter gets this specific word and he's got a choice of like, when God gives me this specific word, am I going to act on it? Or am I going to push it away? In Abraham's life, God came to Abraham when he was a younger man, and he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. God gives him a specific word. But time came, and time is the greatest the trier of faith. The passage of time is the greatest trier of faith on the planet. That you get in faith with your word, and you're fighting with that scripture, but you're not seeing a result with the word God gave you. And so there came a time in Abraham's life where he's looking at what he's seeing, and what he's seeing is he is still without a child, in spite of God making him a promise that he would make him a father. And so his eyes are filled with the problem. His heart has lost consciousness of the promise. And I want to ask you, what is your heart conscious of? The problem or the promise? And for Abraham, he prays, but it's really not prayer, it's a complaint. And he's looking at all the stuff God blessed him with, and he comes to God and complains, and he's like, what is all this? Like, you blessed me with all this. He's frustrated, just like Peter is. Like, I fished all night, caught nothing. We have tried for years to make this promise a reality, and we are no closer to it than when we started, is what Abraham's saying. And you blessed me with all this, but I have no heir I can give this to. It's going to go to my servant. It's going to go to my employee. Because this promise is still left unfulfilled. And you know what God did in his moment of frustration? He came and he gave him another word. He said, Abraham, look up. He looked up at the stars and he said, can you count them? He said, no, Lord. He said, so shall your seed be. He said, look down at the grains of sand. Can you count them? He said, no, Lord. He said, so shall your seed be. And I want you to notice in Abraham's life, God literally needs this to happen. Like, this is not just, I'd like to give Abraham a son because he asked for one. God's trying to give birth to a whole nation. The nation of Israel. Like, the rest of the Bible is going to come out of this miracle. So you would think, like, with a miracle like that, of that kind of importance, God would just give him a miracle, right? He'd just give him a son. Like, the whole world needs this. But he didn't give him a miracle. He did give him something else, though. You know what he gave him? Another word. And when that word got big in his heart and he made a decision to stand on that word and begin to call himself a father of many nations, when his words lined up with God's words, that's when he saw his miracle. And for Peter, it's the same way. I wrote down in my notes, I'm like, Peter was three things. He was fatigued, he was frustrated, and he felt like a failure. He was tired from working so hard. He was frustrated because his work brought no results. And he felt like a failure because literally nothing had changed. And in this moment, Jesus was invited into his life and Jesus gave him something precious. He gave him a promise. And when this man, Peter, acted on that promise, he saw the wonderful goodness of God happen in a season where before he had just caught nothing. Now, here's where I felt impressed to end this message. Is that the Bible records when he did this, that the miracle was so great that he was not the only one who enjoyed it. That he had to call over his partners. And your life, I'm telling you, it's connected to so many. Like, you have no idea the amount of people your life is connected to. And when you make a decision to stop feeling sorry for yourself, you make a decision to get over your fatigue and to get over your failure and to get over your frustration and to put your hope in the living God, to pick yourself up like David did and encourage yourself in God. I love that story. All of David's men around him wanted to kill him because of his decision. They had just all lost their wives, lost their children, lost all their money, lost their retirement account, the whole nine yards. Every man, these grown men are weeping till there are no more tears left in him. And in the middle of that moment, you know what David did? He didn't sit there and feel sorry for himself. He made a decision to do something. He knew he needed a word. So he picked himself up, and the Bible says he encouraged himself. It would have been great if he would have had one of our musicians. It would have been great if he would have had worship just like we had worship. But he didn't have anybody doing that. But he just picked himself up and said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." He picked himself up and he wrote psalms like, "The Lord is my shepherd. And I know it doesn't look that way now, but I will not want." He picked himself up, encouraged himself. You know what he got in that moment? He didn't get a miracle. It would have been great if God just touched the heart of the Raiders and they brought everything back. He didn't get a miracle. You know what he got? He got a word, a specific word for that season. God spoke to him and said, "David, without fail, you will recover all." David went, not in his own strength, but went in the strength of that word. And when he did, you know what happened? He got a miracle. He recovered all. But you know what? His partners did too. And there were others who were too weak for that fight. And he came back and he gave them back what the enemy stole from them. And I really feel like the word of the Lord is for you, that your fight of faith right now, it's not just for you. It's for the seed that comes after you. Your children are watching how you handle this moment. Your sons and your daughters are watching what you're going through right now. And your tenacity to believe God in this season will pave a way for them in future seasons when they're going through the same thing. They remember that time somebody, somewhere, actually acted like they have a God who is big enough and loving enough to actually do something about the problem. And in their frustration and in their failure and in their fatigue, they pick themselves up and trust in the living God. Because they didn't just get the miracle, their partners did too. And may our sons and our daughters see our living faith in a good God. May we fight the fight of faith. May we exalt the word over everything else. And find the specific ones we need for this season. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we thank you that even in our worship coming up right here and right now, give us specific words for this season. Specific words for the fight that we are in. Father, we thank you. It may be something concerning our health, or it may be something concerning our future. But Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that even while we're worshiping, your word comes. It lights our path and we see exactly what we need to do, exactly what we need to pray, exactly what we need to stand on. And Father, I thank you right now, without fail, we will recover all. Without fail, we will see the goodness of God. Father, I thank you, the season is changing, the night is over, a new day is dawning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name, we're going to see your goodness and we're going to see your grace. And it's going to leave us in utter amazement at your power and your demonstration. We love you, Father, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand our feet all over the place at every campus, and let's worship the Lord Jesus today.